Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Hallelujah. Father, I pray that you would give us all ears to hear, hearts to perceive, minds to comprehend exactly what you want to say to us tonight. What you want to say to Beloved Church here. What you want to speak to our region. What you are saying, God. We want to hear clearly. Father, we give you access. Holy Spirit, we give you complete access to our lives. Thank you, Father, for your word. Let it come forth with power tonight. Resurrection power. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm going to talk on the resurrection, so praise God. It would be horrible to talk about the resurrection and not have resurrection power. That would not be a good day. But it is a good day. In 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to spend a lot of time in 1 Corinthians 15. It starts off talking about the resurrection of Christ. It says, "Now I would remind you, brothers, and let me remind you, beloved church, of the gospel that has been preached to you, which you have received, in which you stand." Say, "I stand." Hallelujah. I stand. You know, that is a powerful place to be, is standing in the truth and the knowledge of what's been preached to you. That's a good place to be. You know, you receive the grace of God by faith, and then you stand in it. You hold on to it. You don't let go of it. You hold fast. Verse 2 says, "And by which you are being saved." And there's a couple of different ways that you can receive this, and really both are correct, right? You've been saved, but yet you're still being saved. You're still growing day by day. You're still advancing in the kingdom. You're still receiving healing in your body. You're still receiving knowledge and revelation. You're continuing to progress. You're going forward in the gospel. We haven't got everything figured out yet, but we're moving forward. So this word in the Greek is sozo, and it talks about spiritual healings. It talks about healings in your soul. It talks about healings in your body. It talks about prosperity. It's everything that's good that's been provided by the grace of God. So you've received it all, but yet we're continuing to receive. So you are being saved. You're moving forward. If you hold fast to the word, and this is Paul saying, I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Did you believe in vain? I don't think so. That word vain is aiki in the Greek, and it means without any kind of a reason or without a cause. I don't think anybody in here got saved without a cause. We got saved with a purpose. We got saved with a cause. You know, there is so much power in having a cause for Christ. You know, it's so much more than just, you know, escaping hell and obtaining heaven. The cause that we have is that we are alive. We have been set free. God has done so much with His miracle working power on the inside of us and on the outside of us and all around us. But yet we want to go. We want these walls to be broken down so that we can reach our community, so that we can reach our family, so we can reach our friends. That That's our heart. Why is that our heart? Because Jesus gave it to us. You know, short of Him, we're selfish. We are all about me. The world is all about me. Got to take care of me. Got to take care of me. But we don't do that. Right? We have died to ourselves, and we are all about Jesus. Praise God. For I deliver to you as the first importance what I also received, verse 3, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture. You know, there's a lot of people that don't believe that Jesus died for all our sins. They believe that Jesus only died for the sins that we confess. What if you forgot to confess something? What if there was something you were supposed to do and you didn't even know it? You missed it. You were selfish and you didn't even, and God told you to do something and you missed it. What about that sin? That'd be a rough day. If all of a sudden that you died and you thought you confessed everything and all of a sudden the reel gets played of all the sins that you forgot to confess. Sorry, you can't go into heaven. You're going to hell because you forgot to confess. How stupid is that? How stupid is that? Your sins are forgiven. He died for every single one of them. Not just the ones you remember to confess. Praise God. You, according to Scripture, verse 4, that He was buried and He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scripture, and that He appeared to Cephas, or Peter, then to the 12. Now, remember there was 11 and Judas died, and then the 11 said, we got to have 12. So they nominated another guy and they got him in as the 12th one. And then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. I'd say he was resurrected. He went into the tomb. Third day he was raised from the dead. Praise God. And then he came back and he started appearing to people. Most of them are still alive. I think most of them probably now are not still alive. It's been a couple thousand years. Or maybe they are still alive. Maybe they are resurrected. Though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared, verse 7, to James and to all the apostles. Last of all, by the way, who was the last of the apostle that Paul's talking about here? Himself. Very good. To the last of the apostles, or the last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. And you know what? His grace toward you was not in vain. Oh, man, that's good. Because think about it. If His grace could be called worthless, Where would you be? You'd be trying to earn it. And where would that lead? Death. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. Praise God. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it is not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. So it doesn't really matter who preaches the gospel. What matters is the fact that you believe. See, that's the important thing. Not whether you got Paul's gospel or Peter's gospel or Timothy's gospel, but you get the gospel. See, that's what counts, is that you get the gospel and that you receive His grace through faith. Short of that, where do you think you're going to go? You're going to go to some place that was not for you. You're going to go to some place that was intended for the devils. You're going to go to some place that is not supposed to be for a human. God did not intend for hell to be a place that His creation went to. He intends for you to obtain heaven. He intends for you to have life. He intends for you to have victory. But He has set up policies, right? He has set up the Scripture, and He makes it simple. But there's only one way. There's only one way to get to heaven. There's only one way to have life. It's through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Muhammad's not going to get people there. Buddha's not going to get people there. Joseph Smith is not going to get people there. Jesus Christ is the only one. He's got the keys. He's the one that's righteous. He's the one that has taken His key and destroyed death and given us the key to heaven. He's the only one. There's no other way. There's only one way. We are even found, verse 15, to be... I just jumped over a bunch, didn't I? Wow. Where was I at?
You were on 11.
Okay. 11. Whether then it was I or they, so we preached to you and so you believe. Verse 12. I don't know how that happened. I must have touched it. I'm going to have to go back to paper version. Pastor Bob Nichols says, these young preachers that preach from digital copies, they need to get the... Yeah, we'll go there. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? How can that be? I mean, it just doesn't make sense to Paul. And it doesn't make sense to me. How can someone say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise it if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. You know, by the way, this is why when you're studying the Word of God, you really have to look at everything in context. Because if you were just to open up the Bible and look at verse 16 and say, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? Let me read it in English. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. Think about that. If you just take that verse by itself and forget about all the context, then you're going to say, even the Bible says that Jesus wasn't raised from the dead. I mean, how stupid is that? Right? Everything that we believe is based on the fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that He's still not hanging on the cross. I mean, doesn't that get you when you see crosses that have Jesus still on the cross? It's like, come on, He's not on the cross. He was raised from the dead. I mean, if He were still on the cross, where would we be? We'd be forgiven and we'd have no power to walk in forgiveness. We'd have no power to walk in what God has called us to do. It would be such a futile place knowing that we're supposed to do all these things and yet we have no power to do it. So we just sit around. I guess we'd have to just wait and die and go to heaven because we wouldn't be able to do anything. We'd have no power. Christ would not be living in us because He'd still be on the cross. We would know, we'd be forgiven because He took our sins upon Him, right? We might even be healed because He took stripes, but we would have no power to walk in faith. We would have no ability to receive God's grace. If the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Paul goes a little bit farther than I would. Then those, he's probably right, by the way, just in case. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied or most to be miserable. Paul's saying, look, if Christ were not raised from the dead, if He were still hanging on the cross, the best we could obtain is misery. The best we could get to is to be pitied. I say the resurrection's pretty important. But, I love it when the Bible says but. That means all that other stuff, okay, here's the real thing. Right? You got to put your butt in the right place. You do. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Now you can take this verse to heart. But Christ, in fact, has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, who is that man that death came from? Adam. Man, you guys are, Pastor Steve would say, you're in a good church. By a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. Who's that? Jesus. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. See, you are born into sin. But when you are born again, you are born into life. Simple. But each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Then, at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God, or the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Okay, that's the last enemy to be destroyed. Now we're going to jump over, Craig, to 2 Timothy 1:10. And I'm going to read in the King James. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Jesus has abolished death. So if that's the last thing to be defeated, and here we read in Timothy that it has been defeated. Death has been defeated. Abolished means that it's been obliterated. Okay? It's been destroyed. It does not exist anymore. Just like in America, slavery has been abolished. Slavery is no longer allowed in America. Praise God. It has been destroyed and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. If you were at the men's fellowship, you would have heard everything about light. Immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. See, God is able to hold on to you. He is able to keep you in this faith. Stacy was saying, don't let it fade. Hang on. Hang on to this belief in the resurrection. And I say, hang on. And Christ is able. Christ is able to keep us committed to him. Not just in faith of the resurrection, but he is able to keep us committed unto Jesus Christ all of our days. We don't have to burn up and fade away. We don't. We are able to stay strong every day, day in and day out. I mean, that is good knowing that he is able to do this. Why? Because he has put everything in subjection under him. He has destroyed our enemy, which is death. Death is destroyed. Death is abolished. Hallelujah. For God, back to verse 27 in 1 Corinthians 15, for God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things put in subjection, it is plain. What's the King James say? It is manifest. Okay? It has come to light is what that means. It is plain. It is apparent to us. You know, when a parent says to their child, it is plain that you should do this. It's very clear you should do this because I'm telling you to do it. You know how to do it. Why aren't you doing it? Okay? This is the same heart that Paul has here. It is plain. It is obvious. It is clearly made apparent. It is plain that he is accepted. That means that Jesus Christ was never, ever subject to the things that he destroyed and defeated. Oh, that's powerful. This is powerful. You got to get this. Jesus Christ himself was never subject to death. He hung on the cross, but he was never subject to it. He was always victorious over death. When he hung on that cross, he did it for you and me. It was not because he he was subjected to it. He took death upon himself. He took sin upon himself. He never committed sin. He never did. He was righteous. He was obedient to the law. He was tempted, but he never gave in. Not like you and I. We've given in many times to temptation. But Jesus Christ never gave in. He never gave in to the temptation. He was never subject to sickness. He was never subject to disease. He always, always overcame. That's how we can overcome. because of our faith in Jesus Christ. It's not our faith in ourselves. It's our faith in the one that lives within us. And by placing our faith into the faith of Jesus, that's how we overcome sickness. That's how we overcome sin. That's how we overcome when temptation comes our way. It's how we defeat disease. And yes, it's how we defeat death. Praise God. When all things are subjected to Him, then the Son Himself will also be subjected to Him who put all things in subjection under Him, that God may be all in all. Now that is a mouthful. Okay? So let's break it down just a little bit. What it is saying is that Jesus Christ submitted to God the Father. And because He yielded to God the Father, because He subjected Himself to God the Father's will, He is in the fullness of God. He is all in all, as the King James says. He is all in all. And because He is all in all, those other things that He defeated are always subject to Him. Because He is in the Father. Okay? That's why when we are in Christ, all of these things are subject to us. Right? We are in Christ. So when Christ is over and everything that He defeated is under His feet, we are in Him. We are in the body of Him. Right? We are in Christ. So when we are in Christ, where are we? We are also above where sickness, disease, sin, right? All these things, they are subject to us. They are subject to us. We have authority over these things because of what Jesus did, because of covenant between Jesus and the Father. When we stand in Christ, we also have complete authority over sickness. We have complete authority over disease. We have complete authority over sin. You do not have to sin. I do not have to sin. I do not have to give in to temptation when I am in Christ. Praise God. If Jesus had never been resurrected, we would not have that kind of authority. We would not have that kind of power. We would be miserable. Verse 29. Otherwise, what do people mean by being baptized on behalf of the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized on their behalf? I think Paul's being a little bit sarcastic here. Why are we in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you that I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die every day. Paul says, I die every day. See, the only way that you can truly have the resurrection power in your life is if you die to yourself. If you want to live unto your own self, your own passions, your own desires, all that kind of stuff, right? You are not gonna have the power of God. You won't. You have to die to your individual passions. Now, I'm not talking about destiny. I'm not talking about the things that God put in your heart to believe for. Look at Luke 9:24. But we can do 9:23. Let's go to 9:23. And He said to them all, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. This is Jesus, right? He said this. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. See, here's the principle, that in order to live in the fullness of Christ, you have to lose your life. You have to die to your passions that you have that are outside of Christ. You have to give it up. You have to say, okay, Jesus, you're going to be Lord, not me anymore. There's not room for two gods on this heart. There's only room for one God, and that's going to be you. It's not going to be me. I'm not going to be my own God any longer. Because, see, before Christ, I was my own God, and it didn't get me anywhere. And it didn't get you anywhere either. Praise God. Okay, let's go back. No, let's not go back. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:11. Okay. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. So I just want to let you know, this is confirmed in a couple of different places, and we could find a lot of scripture that proves this point. Right? And sometimes as a grace church, we sometimes forget about the fact that we really do need to die in order to receive. You know, we talk a lot about how to receive grace through faith, and we talk a lot about how to receive. But we have to remember that if your cup is full of all kinds of garbage and filth, you don't have room for anything. You got to empty out. You got to quit trusting in your own self. There's nothing in yourself that can produce anything good. You can't perform. It's impossible to perform. That's why in order to receive, we do have to die. It's kind of like, you know, farmers, you know, I'm not real smart all the time, but I do know that they don't just go out in the field and the corn before harvest and take those plants and stick them back under the ground so that they can grow a crop for the next year, right? They take seed and they plant the seed. They don't plant the whole plant, right? They don't lay the whole plant in. They take seed and they plant seed, right? If you've got a bull and a cow and you want to produce a calf, you don't take one of those and bury it in the ground and expect something to come up, right? You get the bull to produce some seed into the cow, and the cow produces a calf, right? If humans want to make a baby, you know what? That's what happens, right? There's certain principles and ways that God produces offspring, right? Okay, so in the kingdom of God, the seed of faith, right, gets planted once you die. When you die, the seed goes into the ground, and that seed that was dead can now come to life. There's resurrection power. See, everything in the kingdom of God is based on resurrection power. Our faith is based on believing in the resurrection, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The only way that you can believe that is you have to die to whatever you believed before that. You can't continue. Let's say that you were a Mormon. You can't continue to believe that and still believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. You can't. You can't be a Muslim or a Buddhist and still believe all of that, or a Hindu and just add Jesus as one of your 3,000 gods or 3 million gods. You can't do that. You have to die to what you believed. You can't believe that being a good person is going to get me to heaven. Being a good person will not get you to heaven. You can't live on that 51% plan that says as long as I'm good for at least 51% of the time, then I'm going to go to heaven. No, the only thing that you can do is die to what you believe and begin to believe in what Jesus says and believe in what has done. You have to cast your cares. You have to put your trust into Him. You have to put to death all of the things that you might trust in that are outside of Christ. That's how you live. Verse 32 back in 1 Corinthians 15 says, what do I gain, humanly speaking? He says, I fought with beasts in Ephesus. If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Okay, now that comes from, let's see, where is it? It comes from Isaiah 22:13. And let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. He's mocking all of those people that are putting off coming to Jesus. He's saying, you know, if we're going to die tomorrow, let us eat and drink and be merry. Let's party. Come on. It's time to party up, right? Party hardy, right? Go out. Get drunk. Why not? We're going to die tomorrow. You know, and if God's grace is free, it's cheap, it's easy. Let's just go party. We're going to get saved anyhow, right? Why not? No. No. Be not deceived, verse 33. Bad company ruins good morals. The King James says, evil communications corrupt good manners. What this is talking about is that if you put yourself and you continue to place yourself around people that continue to speak doubt, that continue to be naysayers about your faith in Jesus Christ, those are evil communications. Those are, bad company. Yeah, that's bad company. I can remember what that was. That's bad company. You know, when you place yourself in these situations, you are eventually going to let them kill your faith. You say, well, I don't think it's killed my faith. Well, I don't know. When I do it and I've done it, and next thing you know, I'm looking for excuses to go drinking instead of serving Jesus. What did that do? Right? I think their evil communications probably caused the problem for me. Right? And I'm believing that Pastor Steve Barr is going to be raised from the dead. I'm believing. Well, I don't know. God told me that he doesn't want to come back. Look, just kind of laying it out where the rubber hits the road, right? What do you believe? You know, and do you stand with those? I mean, what are you allowing to come into your heart? You know, what are you allowing your heart to hear? You know, what are you allowing to come in through your eyes? What do you allow to come in through your ears? Right? These things that are anti-scriptural, that will dull your senses, right? This is what the world does, is it dulls your senses. It causes you to be insensitive to the Holy Spirit, or unsensitive. And that's the Word of God is what quickens our heart to believe. I don't believe in the impossible without the Word of God. I can't. I don't have that in me. What allows me to believe is the Word of God. Is the Holy Spirit quickens the Word. When I read the Word, I'm like, yeah, I believe that. Well, but brother, you're not experiencing. But I still believe it. My experience will eventually line up with what I believe. See, what you believe is what determines what you do. It determines what your behavior is. It determines what you stand, what you speak. What you believe in your heart is what comes out of your mouth. What you believe in your heart is what creates the actions that you come up with. See, you can say, I believe, but if your actions are doing something else, right? It's saying in your heart, maybe you don't really believe. Right? Now, I know that there's a transformation period and there's a gestation period. When you plant that seed, it takes a little while for that seed to come back to life. And it takes a little while for that seed to spring forth to where you can see it. And when it breaks forth, it's hard to tell sometimes. Is that corn or is that a weed? I don't know. Let's water it. Let's see what happens. Let's protect it. Let's guard it. Let's make sure the rabbits don't come around. Let's make sure the deer stay in the woods, right? I'm going to guard that. I'm going to guard it because I know I planted some seed there. See, I've been speaking faith over my life. I've been declaring that I am prosperous. But Dennis, I've looked at your bank account. I don't care. I'm prosperous. But I looked at the bank. I don't care. I am prosperous. I've been declaring that I'm healed. Yeah, but I see some symptoms. I don't care. I'm healed. The Word of God says I'm healed. I'm believing the Word of God. But Dennis, I saw this and I saw you sneeze. But the Word of God says I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm not sick. I don't have a disease. I don't have a sickness. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I don't look at my bank account to know whether I've got money or not. I know that I'm prosperous because my God says that you will prosper as your soul prospers. Hallelujah. I can stand in what Jesus Christ says. I don't have to go to the doctor to find out if I'm healthy or healed. I know I'm healthy. The Bible says that I have perfect health. Hallelujah. I don't have to go and ask somebody and get somebody else's opinion. I go right here. I go to the Bible. That's the opinion that I'm going to listen to. That's the opinion that I'm going to stand by. That's what I'm going to embrace. I am not going to embrace what the world says. I don't even care what my emotions say. I don't care. I care what the Word of God says, and that's what I'm going by. Praise God. And so should you. Praise God. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, verse 34 says, as is right. Now, drunken what? Drunken wine? I think it's drunk in the world. Drunk in listening to the lies. Drunk in listening to things that have nothing to do with God. Drunk in listening to people that say, well, I think that God should be whatever. See, this is why it's so important to know the Bible, to know the Word. So when somebody says something, because somebody can say, the good Lord, the Word says this. And you're like, the Word doesn't say that. I'm not believing that. That's why you got to know the Bible. Otherwise, you can hear stuff and you'll embrace it. And if you embrace a lie, it produces weeds. It doesn't produce the fruit that you're waiting to come forth from the seeds that you've planted. It produces weeds. It produces thorns. It produces thistles and rocky ground. You don't need that. You don't want that. You can't afford to have that kind of thing in your life. That's why you have to know what the Bible says. You have to know what's in the Word. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning. See, when you continue to live in sin and you love it, and you continue to pursue it, and you continue to chase after it, you continue to make excuses for it in your life, what does it do? It takes away your knowledge of God. That's what it says. For some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. Look, I'm not releasing shame, but I am saying that when your heart is more after sin than it is for the things of God, I'm telling you, it causes you to not believe. You get to a place where you're like, man, I don't even know if I'm saved. I don't even know if that stuff's really true. I just don't know. I mean, I watch TV and they say that I'm not politically correct, and they're talking about homosexual marriage and they're talking about abortion, and why are Christians so insensitive that they can't see that I'm born gay? I mean, can they not see that? And all of a sudden, we start to take on different belief system that has nothing to do with the Word of God, because we've allowed some type of sin to just take over our passion, and we chase after that, and then all of a sudden, we the things that we watch on television have power, and we start believing those things, and all of a sudden, the Word of God has lost its rightful place. Jesus Christ is no longer sitting on the throne of my heart where I'm yielding to Him continuously. I'm no longer on fire for Him because I'm just like, Christians are insensitive. I mean, how can they think that they've got the only way? I mean, how selfish? I mean, are you kidding me? Have you heard these Christians that say that there's only one way? Praise God. I'm telling you, it's the little foxes spoil the vine, the Bible says. And when you let in the little things and you let them in and they come in and they make a nest in your house, and you just kind of let them be there, right? And next thing you know, they invite their cousin, and the next thing you know, you're like, man, I remember when I used to be pretty rad. I'd go to church whenever the doors were open, but I don't know, not really interested in it now. Why? It's because we've lost something. We've lost something. I think we've lost the resurrection power. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? I love this verse. It seems to be very appropriate right now. How are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Paul says, you foolish person. He's basically saying, you are stupid. That is a stupid question. That's what he's saying. Now I'm like looking at this, I'm like, why is that a stupid question? I want to see the dead raised. Why is it a stupid question? And he's saying, look, you foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. If you want to see something come to life, it has to die. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel. This is a naked kernel or a naked seed. The seed has to be naked. Right? That's why if you're planting wheat, you don't take the whole stalk of wheat with all the seeds inside, still attached to the shaft. You don't take that and plant that in the ground. You have to get that seed naked. You have to take it out. You have to, I don't know, what do you call it? Husking? What do you call it with wheat? Huh? Oh, yeah, combine. Yeah, that works. that this is a seed that you plant in the ground. It's a naked seed. It's a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. Verse 38 says, but God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. Okay? If you plant a pea seed, you're going to get peas. If you plant a corn seed, you're going to get corn. Right? Whatever you plant, that's what you're going to get. Right? Cows produce cows. Dogs produce dogs. Right? Whatever the type of seed is, humans produce humans, in case you're wondering about that. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory for the moon, another glory of the stars, for stars differ from stars in glory. Verse 42, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. So it is. So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is corruption. Okay, now what does that mean? What is sown is corruption. It is raised in incorruption. What this is talking about is that when you come to Jesus Christ, you bring the seed of corruption. And when you die and you accept Jesus Christ, you have replaced that corruption with incorruption. Okay? That's good. You bring ugliness and strife and sin, and it gets replaced with righteousness. That's powerful. You come and you've got no power, and he gives you the power of the Holy Ghost. You come and you are dead, your spirit is dead, and he gives you life. You come with dishonor, verse 43, and it's raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and it's raised in power. It is sown with a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first Adam became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So Adam brought death. Jesus brought life. That's cool. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural and then the spiritual. See, these five senses that we've got, you know, sight, smell, taste, to hear, touch, these five senses, they come first. You start there. And then you get the sixth sense, which is faith in the Word of God. We don't live in the flesh. We don't live according to the carnal, which is those five senses. But we live by faith in Jesus Christ. We live by faith in the Word of God. So if you want to see resurrection power in your life, you have to live in faith. You can't live in the carnal. You can't live by what you hear. You can't live by what you see. You can't live by what you smell or what you taste or what you feel. You can't live by these emotions. You live by faith in the Word of God. The Word of God is what produces life in you. The Word of God is what quickens your spirit to be able to believe and to be able to trust and to be able to know and stand strong. Look, when I first started praying for Pastor Steve Barr, right, I was like, man, if I can just get in that room, if I can just get in that room, I know I'm raising him from the dead. If I can just get in there, because I've been involved. I raised somebody from the dead, or was with two other guys, and we raised this guy from the dead. So I know what it takes to raise a guy from the dead. It's no different than praying for a headache. I'm telling you, it's the same release of faith. It's the same release of power. It really is. And so I was just like, if I can just get in that room, if I can just get in that room. And I was praying with Pastor Steve and some others before the service on Wednesday night. And I was struggling. I mean, Pastor Steve had the faith. And I was sitting there like, man, we're like 18 miles away, you know. And I was struggling. And all of a sudden, God just, in my spirit, it was like a tunnel just opened up. I just saw everything part, like the Red Sea part. I saw everything part. And all of a sudden, I was right there in the room with Steve Barr. All I knew is that 18 miles was now connected by the Holy Ghost between me and him. And I can't explain how I saw that. I can't explain how I know that. But it was probably Pastor Steve over there praying. But I saw it open up. And all of a sudden, I knew this guy was raised from the dead. I mean, I knew it. And I didn't know how convinced my heart was until we went up in the service. And those of you that were there Wednesday night, remember when he was praying, Pastor Steve said, look, use your imagination. Imagine that you are there. And he's laying on the gurney, right? And he started, and my heart, I could not go there. I saw him walking around the room. I could not place him back on the gurney. I saw him alive. I saw him walking around. I could not let my heart go back. I couldn't. He was saying, imagine him on the, I couldn't. My heart was like, no, he's not there. He's not on the gurney any longer. He is raised up. My heart would not let me believe that because I already saw him. Now, my wife's over there, and she's like, Pastor Steve's such a card. She said, when she saw that, she said, Pastor Steve looked up and said, boo, to Jesus. God speaks to all of us differently. But I'm telling you, in my heart, he was raised from the dead already. He was up walking around figuring, how am I going to get out of this morgue? Praise Jesus. Where was I? Verse 47. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. That is a mouthful. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Okay, so Jesus is the man of heaven. We're just going to go right here. Jesus is the man of heaven. If you are in Christ, you have the image of the man of heaven. You have the image of Jesus Christ. Now, when you look in the mirror, you need to see that you have Christ. You need to see that you bear the image of Jesus Christ. Do not look in the mirror and say, I bear the image of Adam, or I bear the image of Eve. No, you used to bear the image of Adam. You used to bear the image of Eve. You are no longer a sinner. You are a saint of God. You are called by the Most Holy One. You are holy. You are righteous. You are no longer mortal. You have immortality inside of you. You are not merely human. You have the power of God. You are wall-to-wall Holy Ghost with at least one-third, possibly two-thirds of your being is wall-to-wall Jesus Christ. You are not merely human. You are immortal. You have immortality. You will live forever. Hallelujah. You will be raised from the dead. You will be resurrected. You are not going to die the second death. See, the thing is when you're born twice, you die once. Praise God. But if you're only born once, you're going to die twice. You do not want to die twice. That's a bad place to be. Verse 50. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable or incorruptible inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and the mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I thank you for each one that has come in tonight to hear your word. Father, I thank you for resurrection power that lives within all who have been born twice. Praise Jesus. Father, I thank you that you did not leave Jesus on the cross, but you resurrected him on the third day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here that has been struggling, if there's anyone here that's been struggling with their knowledge of who they are in you, Father, I pray right now you make it clear. Make it clear. Make it plain, as the Bible says. Make it plain. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your revelation. Thank you for releasing truth right now. We all choose to die to ourselves, to die to our flesh. You said that when we're in you, we're a new creature. We are no longer the same person. Thank you, Lord, for resurrecting us. Thank you for giving us life. And Father, there's so many things in our life that we look and we know we've planted the right seed. Or maybe we've planted the wrong seeds. Father, for those, we pray crop failure. Father, we declare that all those seeds that we've planted that are not of you, that we recognize not being of you, we cancel those crops right now. And Father, we choose to water the seeds and we choose to remind of the seeds that we've planted that are of you. Father, we are going to stand and we are going to declare your truth. Father, we are going to stand as the church that believes in the resurrection power. Father, we are not going to be corrupted by evil communication. We are not going to let our manners be affected by bad company. But we are going to stand and we are going to place ourselves in a position where we read the Word, we believe the Word, we hear the Word, and we let faith be increased by hearing and hearing and hearing of your Word. Father, we are purposing in our heart to be extra committed to your Word and extra committed to your ways. Father, we are setting apart ourselves from all of those things that may corrupt us. Because we have the incorruptible seed of Christ living within us. We know that you cannot be corrupted. Hallelujah. And because you cannot be corrupted, we are incorruptible. We have taken mortality and put on immortality. We are immortal in you. We are alive in you. We are well in you. Thank you, Father, that we don't go by feelings, but we go by faith in you. We stand strong in you, Jesus, and we thank you for the resurrection power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead you have put within us. And we exercise that power and that authority, and we stand firm and we stand strong to our heart's conviction that we believe in the resurrection. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, if you're here and I know the Holy Spirit speaking to some people about some changes in what you believe or lifestyle, what you confess. You know, and if that's you, come on up. Get some prayer. We'll pray for you. And you'll be set free. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And if you're not going to come forward for prayer, you are dismissed in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.